Jesus' name, Lord, what a joy and a privilege it is to see the transformation of the sons of God. Lord, we're growing up, we're going up into you in all things. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, what the word of your grace does. It's the word of your grace. It builds us up. Lord, we're being built up in you and in that wonderful grace, the truth and love doctrine. Lord, building us up, God, giving us an inheritance, Lord, among all them that are sanctified. Jesus, you're doing it. That's what the power of the Holy Ghost does. It sets us apart to you, and it's love that does it. And Lord, it's such a great love that it goes on. It's such a great love, it awakens us. It brings enlightened eyes of understanding. We begin to see what true love is, this word for us. We understand truly what our family is. It's the blood of Christ. Lord, we thank you that we're beginning to take from you this beauty of this bridal life that you have given us, that we're settling down, we're dwelling together in marriage. Lord, as you said, the wife hath made herself ready. She expects him. She anticipates him. She longs for him. Hallelujah. She is listening for him. There's a call that is coming. It's coming, hallelujah, for her to come away. And Lord, thank you that that yearning right now is taking us away. Lord God, it's those that live the life that we are seated in the heavens in Christ. Lord, thank you that our heart's affections more and more are set on the things above. The entanglement in the affairs of this life, God, they only encumber. They only bring that slumber that is upon the church. God, help us to not go that way. But today, Jesus, by the power of your might, there's an awakening going on. There is an awakening, the only awakening there is. The trumpeter's voice is about to sound. And Lord, thank you that you have given us an ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And Lord, your wife is ready. And Lord, thank you again for your grace that has prepared her. And Lord, we wait and abide and say, even so come, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Praise God. If you turn to Song of Solomon chapter 2. We thank the Lord of what he has given us in the revelation. Hallelujah. Oh, Shia. Glory to him. Oh, Lord, thank you. But what she sees in him, and praise God all because of what he has shown her, this adoration of the bridegroom for the Shulamite. And we read this in chapter 2, verse 2. He says to her, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the lily is among the thorns, so is my love, that possessing. And he says, my love is among the daughters. Now I want you to notice here as we begin, who are these thorns? They're the daughters. Do you hear that? Go on to tell you throughout the Word of God, and especially in the Song of Solomon, these daughters are the daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, yes, they are. Now, these daughters are virtuous. These daughters are chaste. These daughters are beautiful. But yet next to her, his love, they're but thorns. He knows. Oh, yes, Jesus does know. His focus is her. His focus is this wooing. We're in a church age, brethren. This is the church age. This is not the kingdom age. This is not the age of the great revival. This is the age that Jesus Christ will have a wife that will come out from among his people. And this message goes forth, and this precious proposal came forth through the Apostle Paul, the bridal message. I'm going to have my goodly pearl. I've given everything that I have. That merchant, I'm going to have her. She's mine.
Nothing's going to stop me. My Father has sent the Holy Ghost. My Father, praise God, as it was seen in Abraham for Isaac. I'm sending Eliezer out to my people to find my son, his wife. He didn't just send him out to the world. They were already in a worldly place. But Abraham knew the wife for his son was not coming out of the world. The wife for his son was coming out of his people. His people. And here she is, praise God. She is the lily among the thorns. Now, once again, these daughters were virtuous, they were chaste, they were beautiful, but next to her, they are thorns. You go on in this precious, wonderful Song of Solomon, you find out by chapter 5, verse 9, why and how thorny they are. They're so thorny, they attempt to discourage her from her bridegroom. That's what a thorny daughter is. Trying to discourage that one that knows that Jesus is in love with her from the bridegroom's love. They mock her devotion and the thankfulness of his divine love for her. They even question her about her beauty. They mock her in what he's told her that she is. Oh, thou fairest among women. Yeah. Come on. They don't get it. They don't get it. These daughters never heard the bridegroom's voice. They knew of him, but they never heard that voice. They're not listening for that voice. But see, she heard it. It captivated her. It's all she wants to hear. And he wooed her from the very beginning. He honed in on her. She didn't even know what was going on really at the first. She tried to convince herself, even convince him. Oh, I'm not worthy of this. Honey, I love you. I'm not good enough for this. Honey, you're the lily among the thorns. Now, really, you don't understand what you're doing. Honey, you're mine. He never drew back. It didn't matter what was said to her. It didn't matter even what she felt. I'm going to have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. Now, brothers and sisters, this is so perfect because this is where God so perfectly has placed us. He's placed us amongst Christians that criticize us and discourage us from going on to God's best. Amen. And that's the truth. Now, God tells us that we are lovely to him, but these ones try to discourage us and tell us that we're not lovely to him. But yet the Lord, hallelujah, has told us, and we believe the word of God, that no matter when another saint tells me, oh, you just think you're better than me, I say, no, I believe in the mercy and the grace of God, and I know that I'm the lily among the thorns. He's in love with us. And he's making a point. And you better hear it now. You're it. You can wiggle. You can squirm. But you're it. You're it. And truly, it's time to pursue him. You understand how he pursues you. He's brought you to this message. We call it a place, but the place is this message. He's brought you to this proposal, this one thing, this one gospel, this no other gospel. The one that Paul so sweetly said, oh Lord, to this chief of sinner, this grace that has been given. You have revealed to me the worst of the worst. The mystery of you, Christ, and the church. This bride, praise God, that will come forth out of her, the glory in the church. You have made that known and revealed that to me for them. Now, brothers and sisters, it's not that the daughters were not lovely. It was just that she was that overwhelming to him. And he goes on to tell her why. You are the choice one of your mother. You're the choice one of grace. We're saved. Every child of God is saved by grace. We're all grace saints. There's no such thing as a saint that isn't by grace. All right? I like to be real accurate with that. So all of his saints are saved by grace. All of his saints are grace saints. But are you the choice one of grace? We don't have time to go all the way through the Song of Solomon to show you that today, but it's there. You're the choice one of your mother, the elect, the one, praise God, that has come into that vision and enlightenment, praise God. I see that grace. I see how great that grace is. And we see it as the Apostle Paul revealed it to us, that he was revealed from the Lord, that we've been given all grace, not some grace, not a bit of grace, but all grace. And how all sufficiency for all things it is, and it's always given, always, and it's all powerful. And every word that he uses to describe his grace, it's all. And you can put that in every bit of your life, that it's always there. I think all of that grace is so condensed in such a precious verse, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And that's all because of all grace. All grace. Lord, I believe in that. I thank the Lord. He knows me. He knows you. That struggle all the time of, oh, the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would, that I do. But yet so thankful that that transformation was made so quickly through the 7th chapter of Romans. There Paul says at the very end, oh, I thank the Lord that with the mind, I serve the law. But with the flesh, I serve sin. Right there, he saw those two beautiful natures. The beautiful natures. I'm never going to change this flesh. Not. This flesh don't change. The one thing that does change is the inner man. And it changes from glory to glory to glory to glory into the image of him, the inner man. Amen? And the feeding of that life, praise God, and how that life grows up into him in all things. And the things, praise God, that life overcomes. And not just little things, but all things. And understanding the word of God is, again, the Apostle Paul. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. I don't worship Paul, but I sure am thankful for him. I'm thankful for that enlightenment of grace that was upon him, that he knew, I am what I am by the grace of God. And then to understand each and every one of our lives, that praise God, that the Lord, as he revealed this to Paul, Paul came into this knowledge because not because Paul was so great or so smart. It's because the Lord had to strip him of everything. The Lord had to strip him of everything. Strip him to the place that he realized, as Brother Tim said, that thing that he thought he hated was him, and it was himself. It was that dirty self-righteousness. Had to come to that understanding that there's only one glory, and that is in the cross. All righteousness is in the cross.
All righteousness came from the cross. And praise God, in that stripe of death that he took for us, we have been made the very righteousness of Christ Jesus. All by the grace of God. And Paul understood that. That I am what I am by the grace of God. Understood this great revelation of grace. But then the Lord brought him through as he grew. And he understood his life. And he understood the infirmities that he couldn't get rid of. The thorns that he prayed to the Lord. Lord, take them from me. Lord, I don't want these things. They plague my mind. I want them to go. I know they're not right. I don't want to get complacent. But Lord, you gave a witness. And oh, what a sufficient witness in that brother. And he said so sweetly. He said, you know, with this revelation that was given to me, Paul, if I took that thorn from you, you would be magnified and not me. Paul then said, oh, I glory in my infirmities. I glory in my weaknesses. I glory, let's just say it like it is, in the thing I can't get rid of. For when I'm weak, then he is strong. It's in my infirmities that the very power of Christ rests upon me. All right. So, really note this. She is placed, praise God, amongst the thorns. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to know this. It's because of this bridal message and knowing Christ's love for us and what it does for us, it makes us overwhelming to him. It does. It transforms us by faith into the Shulamite. That's what this word does. The word of his grace does. It builds you up. It can't do anything but. I thank the Lord that's why we give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. By the grace of God, you continue to preach this. And as we began today, the aha moment will come. I see it. But you're never going to see it unless you keep hearing it. Unless by the grace of God, it becomes overwhelming to the hearing in your ear. Praise God. It won't come. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You want bridal faith? You're going to have to hear bridal truth. It doesn't work any other way. What you hear is what you'll transform to be. If you're hearing by the grace of God salvation, which is the start of all of us. Praise God, you're a baby and you're born of God. And if you stay right there, babies get milk. And you're going to have this milk. And it's wonderful. But how far would I go even as a natural person born on just milk? It might last me 2 years, 4 years. Mama's milk is mighty incredible. But it still's got its limits. And that feeding has to increase and it has to expand. And by the grace of God, I want to have the strong meat. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, the bride for the Lamb of God has faith in his love. She has faith in his love. She doesn't doubt it. And that's why she said, so is my love among the daughters. You have to see yourself here, honey, so you're not going to be there. Do you believe in this grace for you? I pray you do. Don't let this just pass you by.
Don't let this just be something you come in and hear and you just say, well, that's kind of a really amazing thing. No, I'm the amazing thing because I'm that thing of mercy. He says, I bestow the riches of my glory on my vessels of mercy. See, mercy is the exact extreme opposite of what you deserve. I know I don't deserve this, but see, we're talking about God and God's purpose and God's desire and God's will and God's ability. How much mercy are we talking about? How extreme is the exact extreme opposite of what I deserve? You know how extreme it is to sit me in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning with very God of very God, glorified together with Him. That's why the Word of God tells us this. This is why the Word of God, it does. It just puts it out there. There's no beating around the bush. He wears his heart, I'll tell you what, on his sleeve. It's everywhere. Honey, what's mine is yours. He doesn't play hard to get. He comes at you fully. But once again, what you going to hear? Now, so she's placed amongst them thorns. And I'll tell you what, can you attest to this, that it's no lotus land of ease? Can you attest that this race that we're running, it's no cakewalk? And I'll tell you why. The Gentile brides, they always come out of the toughest circumstances. And they always come out of the most fierce trials. Even the worthies of faith, every single one of them, whether it was Moses, 40 years in that evil, evil Egypt. But that's my choice. Joseph, the same way. Taken out of that little nest of Christianity, put right there in the heart of that vile Egypt. But there's my treasure amongst the thorns. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's just God's way. He places his jewels in the most sketchy places. He just does. Come on. Environments that seem so unseemly. Rahab could give you a testimony on that one. Abraham, where was his calling? Was it in church? Was he in a Bible study? He was in an idol shop. All right. Come on. Now, brothers and sisters, he drills this down even a little bit further. Go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. There must also be, heresies among you. It's ordered. It's ordered. Heresies are ones that desire to lead you away from the truth. Heresies are ones that want to hurt you in the faith. But what does it say here? God divinely places us in it. And why? To show forth the approved. Ones that are sincere, ones that are true. See, it doesn't matter what the foe is, brothers and sisters. When we're in first love, let me tell you something, you're going on. You are going on. It got me to thinking, it was sweet how God does this, and only God could do it, because I knew that the Lord was telling me something, and I never knew about this, but he had me thinking about those old gold prospectors, you know, when they're doing the gold rush. And the Lord touched my heart in thinking about this. You got to go through the fool's gold to get to the real stuff. Well, then I looked it up. Fool's gold is what's known as a gold tracer clue. Fool's gold is a gold tracer clue. So what that means, when you find that fool's gold, you know what's going to be found there? The real stuff. It kind of points you there.
It's going to be found with it. The counterfeit will always be amongst the true worshipers because that's the way that God does it. Lily among thorns. And those were the daughters. Now, I'm going to tell you something if you haven't really discovered this yet. We are not perfect in this meeting. This is not a perfect church. Nope. There's a lot of hurts in here. Thank you, Jesus. There's a lot of bad decisions in here that go on. There's a lot of things that are said and very disappointing, discouraging, downright evil things that have been said. But by the grace of God, the gold is in this place. And I thank him for it. Gold is in here. All right? Now, the reason is, brothers and sisters, and the reason that we know this, is because of the truth in love. The truth in love followers of Paul as he followed Christ are abundant in here. They're abundant in here. They're abundant in here. And I thank the Lord for it. I'm not commending you, I'm commending him. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. But if you happen to run into some fool's gold, don't let it blow you out of Paul's gospel. Because we just read, there must also be, must be, heresies among you. He didn't have to tell me that out in this world. They're all over there. This was something that he had to tell me to remind me what he said is ordered. All right? Now, once again, ones that would hurt you in the truth. Now, how many times I will tell you this, so sadly but truthfully, it's a testimony. Over these 16 years, very brief 16 years as your pastor, someone comes into this meeting. Maybe a short time, maybe they've been here a long time, and I'll tell you what, they are euphoric. How many times I've heard people come in here, and I'm so thankful how God does it, because it is, it's so sweet, not because of us or anything, because of this gospel. Oh, that should be on TV, that should be on this, that should be on that, and I just smile. I think, Lord, we really have to pray for this one. Because you get so zealous so quickly, you know, there's a big bursting bubble. That happens. You know what I'm saying? But complimentary of the truth, thankful for the love in this place, all of these things, but then somebody, or somebody's, usually just one, maybe two, three. Now, this isn't about numbers, never has been, never will be. But in our sweet little directory, and I'm talking about people that live here, that fellowship in this church, okay? If everybody could wake up on the same Sunday, and everybody would be encouraged to come to church on the same day, you'd have over 800 people in here. Isn't that something? Then you go, oh, come on. No, it's true. Over. All right? It's not about numbers or anything like this, but in what I'm trying to tell you, it is. So basically, if it's one person that said something to you, if I did the math, that's 0.001% that you allowed to get in there to weasel something out in you to knock you out of a place that preaches the crown gospel. Now, even if there were eight, we're at 1%. But I'm going to dwell on the 1% instead of the 99%. See, it's what are we looking for? See, I'm thankful, praise God, for this bridal truth. And I'm thankful, praise God, that what we have here. But I'm thankful for the word of God that tells me how he's going to order it. There must be heresies among you. And see, if the enemy, if that's what you want to look for, who loves to point out the ugly and the hypocritical and the false, that's right there amongst all the gold. And if you are willing to let what the Lord is using to approve you instead to defeat you, you know what? You'll be defeated. If you don't look to the Word of God in everything, everything, but especially in this, and understand, and see, He's already prepared you before you got there. If you really understood the Word of God, He's prepared you before you got there. Somebody's going to say something. Somebody's going to step on your toe. They might even step on your face. I'm sorry, but it's just that way because God ordered it. You need to endure hardness as good soldiers. I'm not saying, let me tell you something, we need to be kind one to another. We need to love one another more and more. But I also know the Word of God, and the Word of God said there must be heresies among you. And I'll tell you what, pray. There's nothing greater than a transformation of a heresy. And I've seen it. Not just once. In here. All right? Now. Here you go. But if we'll set our eyes and our heart on the lovely things, the good report, huh? Oh, you know what happens then? And I'm talking about, and I will say this by the grace of God, on the 99%. I thank the Lord for each and every one of you. You are lovely. You love the truth. By the grace of God, be sincere before the Lord. Love one another. Don't harbor bitterness towards people. People make mistakes. We all do. We all say some stupid things. We just do. We're sheep. Get it. Sheep are dumb. Own it. Own it. He used the most simple animal, really, truthfully, to tell us who we are for Him. A dumb sheep. Thank you, Lord. Now. But see, if we'll set our eyes upon that lovely and the true and the good report, praise God, you just might win Christ. But see, without doing that, you won't. You won't. I love to look out on His bridal body. She's beautiful. She's like Him. Just like Him. See, when He came, there wasn't anything about Him physically that they would behold Him. He was just a scrawny little fella. He wasn't handsome. Mm-mm. Overlooked, despised, no matter what He said. But then there were the ones, praise God, that grace hit them. I love to hear their expressions that loved Him. Thou art the Christ. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. That's you, you know. So what is our focus going to be? We're going to come in here and by the grace of God see what is here. I see glory all over the place. That's all the word of His grace can do. It's all the word of His grace. That's the crop that the word of His grace brings forth for Him, His glory. But see, if you don't hear that, that's not planted, that doesn't come forth. See, crowns are coming forth. Crowns. I see crowns. I do. I see crowns every time I come in here. So glorious. So wondrous. And y'all look like good soldiers that are enduring a lot of hardness. You know what that looks like. Exterior, you don't look good. It's all right. It's the way it should be. It's okay. Huh?
I try to put on a suit. I do. I want to honor the house of the Lord. I get that. I don't necessarily fit my jacket right. I much prefer sweatsuits and a sweatshirt. But I'll tell you one thing, always come to Him just as you are. Don't try to look like something, be like something. Hear Him right off the bat. My love, my love, my love, my love, my love. So is my love, thou art my love among the thorns. Now, that's my meditation. And my meditation by the grace of God, as the word of God said, is sweet. We're like a little ragtag band. I get that. But we're gold. See, there's one thing about the word of God that He tells you. The cherubims of glory, they're nothing but gold. And He's got our wings fluttering, doesn't He? Just does. Love one another. And there must be heresies. But what's your choice going to be? And I pray somebody's out there listening that hasn't been coming. And it might be just that reason. And somebody might not be listening that's not coming anymore. And I'm asking the Lord in Jesus' name right now to convict that heart and chasten them. This is your message. Pure love is in here because we want one another to win. And we endure hardness as good soldiers. And I appreciate, as Brother Hill always said, diamonds cut diamonds. You want to cut a diamond, you got to get a diamond. That's why you're here. And we cut. And I'll tell you, it's always, always, and I'm talking good cuts. There are always good cuts that diamonds do. Sometimes I've said some things that, done some things that cut. But you know what? I got a God that does all things right. I got a God that does all things well. I got a God for each and every one of us that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So I tell you what, honey, if I cut you, and I'm sorry if I did in that way, I still trust the Lord. I'm not being cavalier. I'm not. But I know one thing. He works it together for good. We're going to fly out of here someday soon. I'm just looking at you. I just want to remember what you're looking like right now. Because we're sure going to tell each other. Aren't you thankful?
Praise God! Hallelujah!
Yes!
Jesus.
Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I will espouse you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin in Christ Jesus. But as the serpent beguiled Eve from the simplicity, I fear that some of you will be beguiled from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus, Lord.
Oh, yes. Lord, thank you. And so appreciate God. How profound is your word, your spirit. Lord, thank you for your gifts to the church. And Lord, thank you that we rest in you. And Lord, thank you again that we're just vessels of mercy. Lord, thank you for this love that you're working in us, Lord God. And that's the transformation power. Thank you for the thankfulness that you've brought out from the vessels here today. We love you, Jesus.
We thank you for this calling. We thank you, Lord, that you've chosen us. And Lord, we do cherish it. Help us, Lord God. Help us. We need your mercy. We need more grace. And thank you that you've given all of it. But Lord, help us to draw into it, Lord. Help us to go boldly to that throne of grace. Lord, help us to know that with this calling wherewith we're called, Lord God, it's the hope of your calling. And Lord, you did say, I will perform the good work which I have begun in you until that day. And Lord, what a crowning it will be. And we give you all the thanks and praise now and forever for the glory, praise God, that you'll receive in us of what you've done, what you've finished, and what you're performing. In your precious name, Jesus, amen.